Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. We'll be getting back into John, Lord willing, next week. But 1 Corinthians 6, and I want to pick it up in verse 9 and go down through verse 11. And if you're able to stand, that's what they said at the Dodgers game last night. They said, if you're able to stand for the national anthem, and I like our national anthem. I like our national anthem. Amen. And I'm thankful. I just could not. I'm an early bird, real early. And I go to bed early, and I get up real early. And it was way above my bedtime last night. For some of you, you're just waking up. But I could not turn that game off last night. And so it's amazing. Miracles still happen, don't they? And so in 1 Corinthians 6, my daughter, if she's listening, or if she does listen, she's a Blue Jay fan. And so I was going for America's team there. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Now think about that. The unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Hold your place right there. When you get saved, you get robed with God's robe of righteousness. But the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners, nor shall inherit the kingdom of God. They shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, if you stopped right there, we'd be in a sad lot, wouldn't we? We'd be in a mess. But let's pray. The title today, Can Sinners Go to Heaven? Can sinners go to heaven? Father, we need your help today. And Lord, I'd ask for it. I pray if there's someone here that doesn't know for sure where they would spend eternity, that they would get that settled, Lord, in their heart and their soul, and they'd walk out of these doors a new creature, robed in righteousness, O God. I pray you'd help me. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated. Can sinners go to heaven? Well, let's go over to Revelation, the last book in the Bible, Revelation chapter 21. I pray everybody will know that answer before we get out of here today. In Revelation chapter 21 and verse 8, but the fearful and unbelieving and abominable and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. So that'd be all of us, wouldn't it? If we stopped there, we'd be in the lake of fire. Because I know you've broken the law several times. You've said something that's not true. All liars shall have their part. Now, Revelation 21, verse 27. And there shall in no wise enter into it, talking about heaven, anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Heaven's perfect, and so you can't take sin and put it up there, or it won't be perfect anymore. So go to some other verses here. 1 John is back one, just a little bit to the left. 1 John chapter 1. I'm sorry, chapter 3, 1 John 3, verse 9. Whosoever, that would include all of us, right? Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. When you read the Bible, interpret the Bible, you don't want to just pull one verse out and build a doctrine on it. You need to interpret the Bible with the Bible. Amen? And so, said, all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire. And at the great white throne judgment, there's two judgments found in the Bible, one for Christians, one for saved. That's called the judgment seat of Christ. The other judgment, the great white throne judgment, is for those who are dead in their sin. They're not saved. And they will be cast into the lake of fire. You can see that if you go back to Revelation chapter 20 and verse 11. Revelation chapter 20, and I'll pick it up in verse 11. This is the great white throne judgment. If you're at this judgment, there's no hope for you. No more hope. You'll be cast into the lake of fire forever to be separated from God. Think of that. To burn forever. Now, God doesn't want you to go to hell and burn in hell. He does not want that. He loves you, and you don't have to go to hell.
Right.
That's why God sent His only begotten Son into the world, that you might have peace and forgiveness, and like we sang, when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. Are you there in Revelation chapter 20? Okay, let's look at this great white throne, verse 11. I saw a great white throne. This is John the Revelator. And on Him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, God Almighty. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead. You see, they're dead in their sin. I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. So all those without Christ, all those who have not been saved and redeemed, will be summoned. Those that went down on ships, those that got ate by sharks. Every soul, rich, poor, everybody in between, famous. And so they'll be there. And the books were opened. They'll stand before God. The books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. You know why they'll be judged according to their works? Because they thought they'd get to heaven by their works. They chose not to trust Christ. They chose to believe in their good works. Whether it was their church attendance or their good deeds or whatever it was, giving or their morals or their life, anything they've done that would have been sought to attain the forgiveness of sins. And can I tell you right now, none of our works can justify us before God. None of our good works can take us to heaven. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. And so, they didn't want anything to do with Jesus. Now they're standing before God. One day they're going to hit the ground, bow. Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. and they're at the great white throne, the books are open, and they're going to be judged by their works because that's what they depended on. Verse 13, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their what? And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. That is so very sad. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life. He says over in verse 27 of chapter 21, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Is your name written in the Lamb's book of life? If it's not, you can have it written there today. Amen. And when God writes it, there's no erasers that you can't ever take it out. Okay. When God writes your name in His book, it's in there for good, for all eternity. So, can sinners be saved? Yes, they can if they've been washed, if they've been sanctified, if they've been justified. I'm saying about all the same thing, God's salvation. If they've been redeemed, if they've been born again, they can go to heaven. But as we read over there in 1 John chapter 3, if you're born of God, you don't commit sin. So how could that be? God the Father's up here. Jesus Christ, there's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, and Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. God looks through the blood of what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary and His substitutionary death. He took our place. Those nails were for us, but He took our nails. He took our crown of thorns, and God looks through His Son's precious blood, and He sees us as pure and clean. And not a sinner, but righteous. Nothing will be defiled. We'll say, what about all those people? All liars shall be, all the unbelieving and all the abominable shall find their place in a lake of fire. They're still there today. That's what kind of people are in hell today. That's the way you understand that. There's still people in hell today that did not believe, that would not believe, that lied to themselves, or they put Jesus off, and they're still there today. But all those that receive Him, to many as receive Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Go to John chapter 3. John chapter 3, there was a ruler that came to Jesus by night. His name was Nicodemus. He was a good man. He had a lot of good works, but he wasn't ready to go to heaven. He wasn't saved. And in chapter 3, verse 3, God said, the Bible says in John, the Gospel of John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. So in the New Testament where it starts there, John, I'll give it just a moment. This man was a member of the Sanhedrin. He was a ruler of the Jews, verse 1. He was a man of the Pharisees, this religious crowd. Can I just tell you, you can be religious and go straight to hell. Yeah. I'll say that again. Yeah. You can be religious and go straight to hell, split hell wide open. Religion won't get you there. It's a relationship with the Lord. In John chapter 3, verse 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, that word means truly. Hey, when Jesus speaks something, it's true. Amen. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Him. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be what? Born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He can't go to heaven. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Verse 7, marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. You'll never get to heaven unless you're born again. Verse 15, can you be born again? You don't know what all I've done, Pastor. I've committed too bad of a sin. Jesus loves you just like you are, okay? You can come to Jesus today. I don't care what your past, present, or future be. Listen, Jesus can wash. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes us white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Verse 15, 16. Of John chapter 3. Look at verse 15. That whosoever believeth in Him, that's Jesus. You can do that. Romans 10, 13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I don't care who you are today. You can't buy Him with money. No, you just have to receive the free gift, right? Oh, for whosoever, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. Talking about believing in Jesus Christ. Verse 16, let's all read it together. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Jump down to verse 36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. You believe on Jesus Christ, you won't be in the lake of fire. You believe on Jesus Christ, you won't be at the great white throne judgment. If you believe on Jesus Christ, you'll never be in hell. Absent from the body is present with the Lord. And when that time comes, when you go to sleep and you die in the Lord, you'll go straight to heaven. And you'll be there forever. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. You say, I smoke, Pastor. Hey, there's some good members of this church that God gave them victory, but they smoked when they came to this church. We don't have a sign out there, you cannot smoke before you come in. Now, I appreciate you don't smoking in here, okay? But smoking won't send you to hell. In fact, I'd rather have 10 smokers than one gossiper. Amen. Right there. They don't have time to gossip because they're busy smoking. Amen. Let me tell you, Jesus loves you. A woman told me yesterday, she's broken and she says, I've hurt somebody really bad. She says, I've got a problem with alcohol. Now, I'm not advocating alcohol. It's a terrible sin and it'll bring you low and it'll destroy your life. But because you drink doesn't send you to hell. And by the way, when Jesus died, He died for all of our sin and the guilt that comes with it. And Jesus took that punishment on Himself. He took it and He bore it willingly. And He wanted to help you with that. And you'll not have victory in your life without the Lord Jesus, a relationship. Now go back to 1 Corinthians 6, 9. And I'll try to finish up because we have a baptism. In 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9. While you're turning there, I'm going to look at 1 Corinthians 6, 9. Now we started out in verse 9, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, for nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. I said if we stopped right there, we'd all be in a mess, wouldn't we? But aren't you thankful for verse 11? And such were some of you. But ye're washed. But ye are sanctified. But ye are justified. In the name of the Lord Jesus. And by the Spirit of our God. So friends, when you're washed, you're pure, you're clean. You are. The Bible says, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by His own blood He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh. Listen. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? You see, that's the first step, is to get saved, to get washed in the blood of Jesus. Then these bad habits and these sins that we deal with and you struggle with, God will begin to help you with those things. But first is your relationship with the Lord. It starts with Him. Everything starts with Him. For it is not possible, Hebrews tells us, that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when He cometh into the world, He saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me, by the which will we are sanctified through offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. He says there in 1 Corinthians, if you're still there, verse 11, such were some of you, but ye are washed. My question, have you been washed in the blood? Has the blood been applied to your life? Have you received His sacrificial gift? Have you asked Jesus to come in and to forgive you of all your sin and to make you one of His? Have you been sanctified? We read that verse, sanctified in Christ. That's when a person calls on Jesus. That's when a person realizes that there's no hope without the Lord, and they say, Lord Jesus, be my Savior. Lord, I want You more than I want this sin. And you repent and you lay it aside and you're sanctified positionally. And then when you begin to grow as a Christian, hear this. Some of you have just been saved. You just started your Christian walk. Well, He saves you in a moment, in an instant. But for the rest of your life, you'll be growing in the Lord. It's a process. And you'll never stop growing till you get to heaven. So you're sanctified and you're washed and you're justified. Now the devil hates this word right here. I said the devil hates the word justified, because it's a beautiful Bible word that explains salvation. That means remission of sin. You've been redeemed by the Lord. He's bought you back. He's rescued you. And He put our sins on His account and imputed our sins and declared us innocent. Innocent because of what He did. You can go to different verses about justification, but we'll just go to one, maybe a Romans. Go to Romans. Talks about justification. Romans chapter 4, please. Romans chapter 4, a beautiful word. Justification. Romans chapter 4. And let's begin reading in verse 20. Talking about Abraham, how he was a man of faith. And he believed in God, by the way, and trusted Jesus, which was ahead. He couldn't see, but he believed, and he was saved. In verse 20, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. And therefore, it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now, it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him. but for us also to whom it shall be imputed if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. And I'm so thankful to God that he's a risen Savior. Amen. He's not in the grave. Who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Imputed. That word means charged to another account. You know who our sins were charged to? The Lord Jesus Christ. And he declared us innocent if we trust him. All of our sin, all of our guilt, all of our punishment went on Jesus Christ's account. And over in John 19 and 30, you read of the crucifixion of Christ. And as Jesus Christ hung on that cross, and he gave up the ghost. No man took his life. He laid it down for us. Amen. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. And in John 19, 30, Jesus said this, it is finished. It was paid in full. Our sin debt was paid in full. Some of you, like in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 and 11, I include myself in that. Some of you were like this. You were bound, you were on a slick road to hell. You were on a slick road to hell, but some of you were washed. You were washed in the blood. You were like that. But you're not like that anymore. You're different now. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Because, listen, you're saved. You're born again. You're washed. You're sanctified. And you're justified. So can sinners go to heaven? Not, if you've not been saved, you can't go like you are. Because nothing defiled will enter into heaven. But I got good news today. Because of what Jesus did, he died, he was buried, he rose again the third day. He took all of our sin on him. He bore our sin. There's room at the cross today, and you can be saved today. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Jesus told that ruler, he said, you must be born again, oh. And you know what? He was. Nicodemus was saved. Do you have that testimony? I'm done preaching. But if you don't, why not trust him today? Trust him now. Amen. You say, well, can I? Yes, you can trust him now. We had a man came down and got saved last Sunday morning. Hey, there was one saved in the afternoon. He said, make it two. I want in on that. Friends, the best decision you will ever make, the best gift you'll ever receive, the best day in your life is when you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Because I tell you now, you'll never regret it. Once he gives it to you, he don't take it back. He'll change you. He'll bring peace. Like that sign says right out there. He can fill the hole in your heart. And he can give you joy.